With a vision to rebuild, renew, and restore hearts and homes in the urban community, Urban Life Family Media presents Fruitful Living with Chris and Carol Green. Fruitful Living is the podcast outreach of Urban Life Family Center, an inner healing ministry that has been changing lives in South Central Pennsylvania since September of 2004. For the next few minutes, we're going to bring you into our weekly session from the family prayer room, where you can experience the word that is producing fruitful living.
One of the things that I believe God is working on here in Harrisburg is to bring together all of this, I call it Messiah syndrome. What do I mean by Messiah? Bunches of people that all think that they're the only ones got that vision. And I'm going to work alone and get it done. And all I want is just for the government or somebody to send me the millions of dollars so that I can do it. And God is, no, that's not how it's done. The way I work through people and through my body, a body of believers. I work through my church. So I'm going to take all of you who have, I have spoken this vision and this part of the vision, this part of the dream, this part of my picture for Harrisburg. I'm going to bring all of you together so that you can fulfill your part. And even understanding the part that I give y'all to fulfill ain't the whole picture for Harrisburg. It's just that I must bring those together who have that part. And so this becomes part of the peace struggle. Well, I should have called this message Peace Talks today. That's part of the peace struggle, because sometimes people don't have, quote, a peace about connecting with different people because of their bad experiences in their life. So what they'll do is they may visit an Urban Life or a Victory or a Zion Assembly or a Christ Community, and they'll see that church doing part of the vision that they got, and they get intimidated and get envious, as if though God is so small. If you see somebody doing what God put in your heart to do, don't let that disturb nothing inside of you. That actually should encourage us that this really is God. And could he possibly be telling me to take what he put in me and to join it with this group of people? Because sometimes the peace being disturbed, we think of it as, no, this isn't God. No, what's being disturbed is actually our fears and our concerns or even our pride. I wanted to be the one to present this great vision to Harrisburg. I didn't want to be sort of, we call it the underoars. Anybody ever seen the movie Ben-Hur? Or movies like that, where the guys are the slaves who were rowing the ships underneath them great big ships on the water, and they had a bunch of people in the lower decks who were rowing, chained up together, rowing. And so I don't want to be one of those below deck just rowing this ship. I want to be on the top and the captain with my sword out. Charge! I want to be the one. I don't want to be one of the under rowers. Well, I'm not going to get no credit for what I'm doing. Nobody's going to recognize my part. Nobody's going to know that it was actually my idea that started this. But that's what it's going to take for Harrisburg. Somebody's got to be willing to say, I'll just be an under rower. And I'll take and submit the dream, the vision, the thing that God's spoken to my heart, and I'll join it with the others who see this, and we'll just row together. And it doesn't matter who's up at the helm of the ship. It doesn't matter who, quote, gets the credit. Ever think about in the Bible, it talks about all the different battles that were fought. They would say, and you hear phrases like, and Joshua won the battle at Jericho. as if though Joshua all by himself with no other men fought. But that is how it is. It's written in the name of the leader. But believe me, that leader, and more importantly, God knows the name of every single person that marched in that battle. He knows the name of every single soldier. In fact, what we have learned in our years of ministry is you really don't want to be the one at the helm of the ship unless the Lord calls you there. You really would rather just submit my, that's where we are. We were there for a long time in our home church. I'll just, you know, submit my idea and I'm out because I don't want nobody to know where it came from. Because when you're up invisible, the warfare is intense. The opposition is intense when you're the one out front invisible. A lot of times we've watched the movies. Boy, I didn't remember mean to get into all of this today. Okay, I'll follow you, Lord. You watch some of the movies, and you know how a lot of times the adventure movies, I think 2012 is one of them, you know, the world's coming to an end. And we all want to be the hero at the end of the movie. Y'all know how the movies always end. They're always got a little cut here, a little smudge of dirt there. They've been through hell and everything. Hair still in place. And at the end of the movie, they've been through everything, but everything's still in place, except for a little cut, a little trickle of blood, and patches of dirt. Maybe a tear or two on their clothes. And at the end of the movie, they're celebrating, and they're glad that they conquered and they won or whatever it is. But nobody wants to be, in every single one of those movies, think about it, there's always somebody near the end, during the climactic point, there's always somebody who's lasted through the whole movie, and at the end, they sacrifice their life so that everybody else that's left can go ahead and, you know, survive. And think about it. Everybody wants to be the hero at the end. The hero that gets the girl. The girl that gets the hero. But nobody wants to be the one who just before the end of the movie, they say, "You go ahead. Tell mama I love her." Now, nobody wants to be that one who gives up their life. So that, y'all go ahead. Remember me. And actually, the Christian life is about being that one person. That's what the Christian life really is. It's being the one person who says, I'll be the one to give up my life, my reputation, all honor that would have come to me, all credits that would have come to me. I'll give it up so that y'all can go ahead. Because I know I'm going to be okay. Because my reward isn't here on this earth anyway. The ultimate for me is not what's going to happen here on the earth anyway. So I'm willing to give it up. So that those who don't have a clue, they don't know yet what this is all about, y'all can go on talking about the peace of God. Those are the kinds of decisions that the peace of God takes you into. Peace of God is not self-survival. It's settled on, I will, this is God. This is your will. So I'm going with that. That's the peace of God. Isn't that great, y'all? Thank you, Lord. The peace of God is like this. You ever say, well, how do I know it's the peace of God? The peace of God is like this. Romans 5 verse 1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That peace that I'm talking about is that same assurance that you know that you are saved. How do you know it's the peace of God? When I'm talking about this inner peace, this inner witness, this assurance, it's the same assurance that you have that you're saved. That's the reason why in the early days of this ministry, we spent so much time, you guys remember this, we spent so much time talking about the assurance of your salvation and that you don't have to worry about keep coming back and keep coming back and getting saved over and over and over again. And every time you make a mistake, it means that you're boom, kicked out, and now you got to work your way and claw your way back into God's good graces again. When you get into this kind of discussion that we're talking about today, how do I know when God's talking to me? How do I know if I'm making the right decisions or not? Now you see why I laid that foundation about the assurance of your salvation. Because just as sure as you are about your salvation, He leads us with that same assurance, that same peace that it's settled. That's why it has to be settled in your heart. I know I'm saved. That's not the issue. The rest of my life, I'm not spending trying to stay saved and hold on to see what the end's going to be. Those of you who come from certain denominations, you've heard that testimony, that said, that phrase said many times. Those of you who've never heard that, parts of the many denominations in the church, they're all, that's a bottom line belief that we just live our lives trying to stay holy, trying to stay righteous, trying to stay out of sin, trying to keep from losing my relationship with God. You spend your life trying to do that so that when you take your last breath, that you are going to heaven. And even then, I've even heard some pastors preach from the pulpit, even then, you still don't know if you're going to make it or not. Well, if you're living your life with that kind of insecurity about where you stand with God, then how can you decide? How in the world can you decide what school I'm supposed to go to, what person I'm supposed to marry, what town I'm supposed to live in, what career should I be pursuing? How in the world can you know if you ain't even sure about the first thing? Am I His and is He mine and is that settled? What is my purpose? Where am I going? Because when all of that is settled, He's able to lead us with that same assurance about everything in our life. And everything we can be just as sure. Why? Because He leads us with that same peace. The same assurance that you've got. If I were to ask you if you were saved, everybody, you go, yeah. Well, you say, yeah. How do you know? Because I opened up the heart of my, opened up my heart. I invited Him to come in. I turned away from all of my ways, my ideas, everything. I just said, Lord, here I am. I'm yours. I have to do it that way so you get the point. I'm yours. I can't do nothing, can't fix nothing, can't straighten out nothing. You do it. I'm yours. And so He says, yes, you're mine. Gotcha. And no man, nothing can take you out of my hands. Nothing, nothing. What about when I get mad and I get discouraged and I get so mad that I cuss? That ain't no surprise. I'm working on you. That's why I'm holding on to you.
At Urban Life Family Center, we minister in an informal family atmosphere that includes worship, prayer, sharing, and healing. But it's all done in a style and format that uniquely ministers to people in a personal way. From our Sunday prayer and healing sessions to our home church gatherings, everything we do is designed to equip and prepare you to do the work of the ministry. Until next time, remember, God wants to use you to rebuild, restore, and renew hearts and homes in this community. He wants to do it through your fruitful living.